from talking mouths.
I'm really thankful that, you know, my choices in life like got to the point where I was able to contribute and build that. There's been a lot of people who have benefited from it, myself included. But I also don't lose sleep over the fact that I'm not really associated with the trail, that people don't know who I am. My sense of identity on a personal level is not tied to that one specific trail, nor is it tied to, you know, my time with the trail crew or trail building or mountain biking or any other activity that I choose to do.
That was Alex Sokolon, one of the primary builders of Starbucks Revenge. Unlike his fellow builders, Alex kind of faded from the local building and riding scenes in the decade plus after Starbucks was completed. Recently, I was surprised to learn that Alex has actually left the Yukon. Based on the photos he sent me, I'm happy to report that he seems to be living a great life on one of those funky islands between Vancouver Island and British Columbia's mainland. At the same time, I am a little concerned that he might be trying to replicate Michael Bolton's hairstyle from the late 1980s. It's just a thought. I'd never met Alex before I launched this podcast, but we had an easy rapport when we sat down for an interview about Starbucks in 2022. In fact, I invited him back to interview me about the trails I've worked on over the years.
If you're not in a rush to go, you'd be a lifesaver if you'd talk to me just a bit about Blues Brother and Goatee, just so I could get that on the record.
Sure.
Too. Yeah. And then I never have to talk to anyone about my trails again.
All right, well, let's just jump into...
You want to take a break, have a drink, another piece of pizza?
Sure.
Some dessert? Maybe. Ooh, I'll give you... My wife, there's this dessert in the freezer that's fucking kick-ass.
I didn't see a lot of Alex after that, but his words have always stayed with me, including some of the words that never made it into the Starbucks story.
There's a social contract that or a trails contract, we'll call it, that goes along with impacting the land.
My enduring memory of Alex is of a mindful person who is willing to deeply reflect on his experiences as a trail builder. Alex's departure is a loss to the Yukon, but he leaves a legacy that riders and hikers, no doubt, will appreciate for many years to come. So in honor of Alex, I went into my outtakes to give you a little more of Alex. Here he is.
Hi, I'm Alex Sokolon. I'm one of the designers and builders behind Starbucks Revenge. Before I moved to the Yukon, I was doing a tourism management diploma and was working as a park facility operator and supervisor and acting park manager for 3 BC provincial parks in the Squamish Whistler corridor. And I had some trail building experience from my work with BC Parks and then volunteering a lot with the Squamish Off-Road Cycling Association, so SORCA, doing some volunteer work with Big Red Ted, who's one of the larger builders in the Squamish area. There's a lot of really well-known builders in the Squamish Whistler corridor for sure. Ted is definitely very, very well-known from doing a lot of building for like the Red Bull Rampage circuits, and he does magical things with untouched terrain to put in all sorts of either mountain biking or hiking trails, and he's a magician with a Kubota. When I moved up here and had the opportunity to join the trail crew, I was really excited to not only mountain bike, which is one of the things that drew me to being in Whitehorse. It was great to be able to continue and be more in depth with the level of trail building I was able to get into. First joined the city trail crew, I guess it would be the back half of the summer of 2010. So that's initially how I met Jane Kepke, Joe DeGraff, Dexter Kodalek, Tony DiLorenzo as well, Shane Wally, Derek Crow, and there were probably a number of other trail building characters at that point as well. I believe it was late enough in the year that Joe was just going off on a moose hunting trip, so they needed gaps to fill to help push a whole bunch of stuff. I think the first project we started on was the trail at the hospital, right there at the education building that snakes up. So that was the very first thing that we were put on. I have a really creative element in myself, and it's something that is kind of been dormant for a number of years. And the trail building was this really unique opportunity to think and plan logistics and reverse engineer things and be creative with the land. And yeah, there's the intrinsic rewards and values that went with that. There's the connection with the land, with people, with different activities. I think my favorite part of the trail building process was going from blank slate and then gradually filtering down that really time-consuming, detailed work of trying to determine where was the trail and figuring out, like, if we go to the right of this tree, what does that mean? If we go to the left of the same tree, what does that mean? So it was the constant problem-solving and reverse engineering that I really, really liked, and getting it down to being like, okay, the trail will be here. That process, as long and as frustrating and as tedious and as challenging as that can be, I really like the scouting process to figure out where is it going to be. And that was really clear with Starbucks, but that was also really clear with my time on the City Trail Crew. The process of building a trail, it's not as simple as like, okay, well, we start here and we go that way right now. It's understanding and looking at the lay of the land. Like, you can't necessarily go here if you look up like a couple hundred feet, a couple hundred meters and realize there's a drainage basin that goes that way. So you have to really understand what you're dealing with before you even start down one slope. I learned from Joe DeGraff, as well as Big Red Ted and Squamish, that, you know, when you have pristine wilderness and you take a snapshot, you have pristine wilderness and then you snapshot, pristine wilderness one shot, trail the next. I mean, there's a construction zone in between those two, and there's the pack out what you pack in concept, but there's also the concept of, like, you know, at the end of the day, when you're done building that trail, in an ideal world, you want it to look like and feel like it's been there forever. It's maybe, you know, perhaps akin to, you know, some carvers who would take a block of marble. You're not carving, you know, a statue. You're just removing pieces that aren't part of that statue. And you're moving those pieces so that when you see the statue, you think that the statue's always been there. Either the best or the worst thing that contributed to my mountain biking was trail building. And I mean that in the sense that the more that I was involved in thinking about building trails, the more I wanted to build trails and the less I wanted to necessarily just ride. The number of hours I've spent on Starbucks Revenge on foot, as opposed to the number of hours I've spent on Starbucks Revenge on a bike, the foot hours by far outweigh the tire hours. So when I go and ride it now, I almost feel like, huh, that's it. And so I almost, like, when I do go to ride it, I never ride it all in one fell swoop. I ride certain sections and then I hang out and just kind of, you know, sit there and, you know, enjoy the daisies, so to speak, and just enjoy the process of riding and kind of remembering building that trail. There's no way I could tell you how many times I've ridden it. It would be a lot. But since we quote unquote finished building it, I've probably walked it just as many times, whether I've gone up in, you know, perhaps in the winter and snowshoed it, or just gone up hiking. How I define trail building and just trails in general has really changed over the years. at first, it was like my own rush of like, oh yeah, this is gonna be fun. I'm gonna go for this ride. I'm gonna have a great time with my friends. Whereas now, I don't discount any of that, but there's a different connection that I feel with not just the trail being the tread, but the trail being the 10 feet on either side, the 30 feet, and you know, expanding beyond that, just that connection with the land and developing that relationship has been really magical. And I feel very fortunate to have been able to learn and grow and share that experience with people. And even think about it, like, you know, here we are today in 2022, like, and Starbucks Revenge, it's not a part of my life that I necessarily really reflect on anymore. So it's a really neat opportunity to kind of look back at values and, you know, ethics and morals and what's important to me and how I've grown and how that trail is not just impacted riding, but how it's impacted me and my relationships with others and with the land. And it just turns into this huge, like, high level, like, thought process, which, you know, it's not something I lose sleep over, right? But it's really interesting that, you know, I think about, like, how did I get to be building a trail up in the Alpine in the Yukon? And how did I get from there to today? It's this crazy, complex web of constantly evolving feelings and perspectives.